I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. I am your host, Mike Madison, here weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock, offering you a safe space if you're one of them there. Independent thinkers. Today is Wednesday, so next hour is every Wednesday from 10 to 11 o'clock. We will focus in on health with Hump Day Health, natural health news you can use. Another study has come out saying that multivitamins and supplements are worthless. We see these, seems like at least a couple of times a year. I always read these things. I'm always interested to learn. Pretty open-minded guy, to be honest with you. I'm always making sure I'm not missing something, particularly as I do a show for an hour trying to lead people to better health. And so I read this story. We'll talk about it next hour. And then I did a little bit of research into who conducted this study. You might be interested to hear who was involved. We'll also talk about the fact Americans are not just fat on the outside. We have an epidemic here of fatty liver as well, and that's not just for the alcoholics out there. This is something that is also a nutritional problem. We'll talk about what it is, what the epidemic, what the numbers are looking like, and then how you can address that as well, along with a few other topics for today's show. So stick around for that. Quotes of the day today. Chief Dan George, old Indian chief, passed away in 1981, but he said, "A child does not question the wrongs of grown-ups, he suffers them." A child does not question the wrongs of grown-ups, he suffers them. I believe that is a quote of the day I should have had last couple of days as I challenged this idea that we were about to roll out this experimental shot on unsuspecting toddlers in our society. Our children will suffer the wrongs of grown-ups going forward in that endeavor. Congressman Louis T. McFadden, he served back, I believe, in the 1930s, 40s, somewhere in that area. He said, "We have in this country one of the most corrupt institutions the world has ever known. I refer to the Federal Reserve Board. This evil institution has impoverished the people of the United States and has practically bankrupted our government. It has done this through the corrupt practices of the moneyed vultures who control it." This was a sitting congressman who knows what goes on behind the scenes, and he said, I'm going to read this again, he said, "We have in this country one of the most corrupt institutions the world has ever known. I refer to the Federal Reserve Board. This evil institution has impoverished the people of the United States and has practically bankrupted our government. It has done this through the corrupt practices of the moneyed vultures who control it. The only thing that has changed about that is that they have not practically bankrupted our government. They have bankrupted our country completely. The United States is technically completely insolvent." And the great Ron Paul said, "I am convinced that there are more threats to American liberty within the 10-mile radius of my office on Capitol Hill than there are on the rest of the globe. I am convinced that there are more threats to American liberty within the 10-mile radius of my office on Capitol Hill than there are on the rest of the globe." And he is absolutely right. The threats to your freedom, your way of life, everything you're scared that China or Russia or Iran might do to you, yeah, pales in comparison to what your own government, and as Louis T. McFadden said, the Federal Reserve, is doing to you on a daily basis. It'd be great if people actually understood that. Now, I was listening to the Kim Wade show yesterday. He was on fire yesterday. It's caller after caller wanting to restore this country, take us back to our constitutional roots. And for those people who want to take you back to your constitutional roots and want to restore this government back to what it was intended to be, I've got some great news for you. I continue to report on this. If you are really interested in such things, then there is a political party out there for you. It's the Libertarian Party now. Now, you can try to vote for Libertarian Republicans. Some of them have been quite effective. But if you're looking to the GOP to restore this country to its constitutional roots, good luck with that. You've been knocking around with that, many of you, for 30, 40, 50 years of voting for Republicans. You've never been farther from the Constitution, a small, limited constitutional government, than you are right now, even though Republicans have had many, many, many years where they controlled all the levers. And the problem is that I would suspect if I sat down with the callers who say, I want to restore this country to its small, limited government constitutional roots, we would find out that they don't really want small, limited government. On the left, they want their welfare and their services from the government. On the right, they want their wars and their police state. But when people finally do realize that none of these things are serving you, there's a party pretty much ready-made for real freedom and small, limited government. I was looking, I've been reading some from the Libertarian Twitter account since it's been taken over by some sane people. And I was comparing that. Here's what the GOP tweets out. It's no surprise Americans are abandoning Biden. He's created the crisis abroad and economic turmoil at home. Under Biden's watch, Americans are facing a lower standard of living. Now, would you like me to pull that apart for you? Or do you want to live in the two-party wrestling world that politics is? Now, it is no surprise Americans are abandoning Biden. I don't think they were ever really with him. They were just a lot of people that tried to vote against Donald Trump. But he's created crises abroad. Do you know what the GOP's record is on crises abroad? Even before Biden got there and the Ukraine stuff kicked off, you had Republican after Republican after Republican telling you that Vladimir Putin was a Nazi, sanctioning him and encouraging NATO to move closer and closer and closer and closer to Russia. Starting with H.W. Bush and basically all of the war hawk Republicans that rubber stamped the $53 billion recently to Ukraine. They don't mention that in this tweet. They talk about Biden's created crises abroad. Economic turmoil at home? Under Biden's watch, Americans are facing a lower standard of living. Well, there is certainly no doubt about that, but what's responsible for the lower standard of living? It's the Federal Reserve and all their money printing. The inflation is a direct result of the endless money printing under Republicans and Democrats. I just say this to say, look, you can go to the GOP. You can continue to stick around with the GOP. You can follow their Twitter account. That'll make you feel like you're really smart for continuing to vote for them. The problem is it's not what they say. It's what they don't say. It's what they leave out. Here's another tweet from the GOP. Joe Biden has failed to address any of the crises he created for the American people from inflation. See, this is it's Bidenflation. As I've told you, anybody who uses the term Bidenflation is either ignorant or they are just carrying water for a political party. They're talking to you through partisanship, not economics, not intelligence. Joe Biden has failed to address any of the crises he created for the American people, from inflation, supply chain shortages, the higher gas across the country. Biden has failed. Now, I don't disagree with any of these things. The problem is there is culpability on both sides of the aisle for all of these things. The supply chain shortages were a consequence of people across both spectrums losing their mind over COVID, shutting places down. Now, I will give them the higher gas prices across the country. Joe Biden's a disaster for gas prices. No doubt about that. He has added to that problem, but the inflation was always coming. Now, what Libertarian Party has tweeted out says, Biden's gas tax holiday idea, where Americans would pay no gas taxes during a short period, is cute. Beyond ending the Federal Reserve to stop the problem at its source, libertarians would make every day such a holiday. That's right, because libertarians don't pick your pockets. libertarians are about real, small, limited constitutional government. And as I say, most people don't actually want that. They say that they want that, but if you present them with the idea of what they're going to lose, what goodies they like, they retreat from it. There's lots of tweets on the libertarian Twitter page about ending the Saudi war that's killing thousands of people in Yemen. We talk a lot about killing the unborn here. I think we should be consistent in our pro-life approach and maybe not want to participate in the wholesale slaughter of innocent people in a country half a world away at the behest of Saudi Arabia. Republicans and Democrats have done this. Barack Obama got this kicked off. It's really kind of amazing. Our first black president was very involved in the wholesale slaughter of brown people half a world away. And when asked about it, Barack Obama said, well, he was going to participate in this slaughter of the Yemeni people just to placate the Saudis. I believe that was a direct quote. Yeah, we just need to make the Saudis happy, so we're going to kill hundreds of thousands of people. We're going to participate in the worst humanitarian crisis on planet Earth just to make the Saudis happy. That was Barack Obama, your loving Nobel Peace Prize-winning president. Donald Trump was given the opportunity to get us out of the Yemen war. Congress actually voted for us to withdraw our support from Saudi's war on Yemen. And Donald Trump, anyone, he vetoed that in order to keep us in this war against innocent Yemenis. And then the Libertarian Party, I'm going to read this one more time. It was a tweet I actually read, I believe, yesterday or day before. They said, your, quote, fair share, unquote, of wealth for the feds to tax or inflate out of existence is zero. Thieves are thieves, regardless of their position or stated purpose. You want really small, limited government? Is that what you're really fighting for? Power back to the people? Free markets to just do you? To unlock the prosperity and the freedom that this nation promises? There's a party for you. But the Republicans will convince you it's a bad idea to go that third party. They just can't win. Here's what you get from the GOP. Senate bargainers reached an agreement Tuesday on a bipartisan gun violence bill, potentially teeing up final passage by week's end on an incremental but landmark package that would stand as Congress's response to mass shootings in Texas and New York. 14 Republicans are joining all 48 Democrats. Let's get into what this is. Legislation would toughen background checks for the youngest firearm buyers, require more sellers to conduct background checks, and beef up penalties on gun traffickers. And what's interesting about that is, let me just tell you how this goes. Eventually, they're going to beef up the penalties on gun traffickers, and all you law-abiding people out there think, that's great. We got to get them out of here. But when they come for your guns, you know what you're going to be if you trade a gun or think that your government shouldn't be able to take your guns and you should be able to buy them and sell them? You're going to be, anyone, you're going to be a gun trafficker. It would also disperse money to states and communities to improve school safety and mental health initiatives. Heaven forbid local communities actually take care of their own schools. You got to have the federal government send money to the schools to protect the children. What would we do? What would we do without the federal government? God knows that Madison and Brandon and Jackson can never do a thing to protect their children, install a lock, hire a security guard, nothing they could do without the federal government providing money for these schools. Looking to cost about $15 billion, that's what they're projecting. Of course, Chris Murphy of Connecticut, a Democrat, says it'll be fully paid for. There's some other things about people who would not be able to possess guns under this. It's always about nibbling. More and more people should not be allowed to own guns. But the fun part of it is the bill would provide $750 million to the 19 states in the District of Columbia that have red flag laws, making it easier to temporarily take firearms from people adjudged dangerous. That's an interesting term to use there because the firearms are taken before anybody is adjudged to be anything. They're just accused. And to other states, violent prevention programs. States with red flag laws that receive the funds would have to have a legal process for the gun owner to fight the firearm removal after the government takes it. And I would imagine The people who have been on the wrong end of civil asset forfeiture, which is law enforcement just coming in and under no suspicion, no charges, no nothing. They just take your money, take your car, and then you spend thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars trying to get your money back. I would imagine these red flag laws are going to work out exactly the same way. So there's that GOP. There's that GOP. Of course, I'm not saying you vote Democrat because I don't play that game for sure. All 48 Democrats are for this gun control bill. That's no surprise here. I don't need to tell you how disastrous the Democrats are when it comes to gun rights. But if you want somebody who's serious about the Second Amendment, they understand that shall not be infringed. That's actually the Libertarian Party. It's so funny. It's sitting right out there for everybody. And yet somehow Republicans convince you to ignore it. I'll be right back. There was an interesting study done. I've talked about it a lot. You name the problem, I'll tell you how the government plays a role in it. Well, I've got an opportunity to address that now without people having to just shout out from the back of the room what problems they're concerned with. They've done a poll of Americans and what the biggest problems they see facing the country are, what they're worried about most. Strangely enough, transgender rights did not appear on this poll. Isn't that interesting? Here are some of the things. The very first one is inflation, cost of living. I wonder why that's a concern right now. Oh, that's right. Because the government creates inflation and wears away at your cost of living, your standard of living. 44.3% people said their biggest concern right now is inflation, cost of living. The inflation is created by your federal government, local governments as well, and the Federal Reserve that provides them with the endless money. They print up money to carry out the wishes of these of the political class, and that money, that extra money sloshing around in the economy, creates inflation. Number one concern of Americans, you want to tackle inflation? End the Fed. End the Fed. Three words, pretty easy. Health and Social Security. Well, we know Social Security is the Ponzi scheme run by the federal government. And when it comes to health, I think maybe next hour will be better for that to address that. But ever since the government has really gotten involved in our health care, how's that working out for you? Cost-wise, quality-wise, quality of life-wise? Back in the 1950s, 1960s, doctors might swing by your house and do a house call for $20. You wouldn't even have to go and wait in a room. Weren't you know, $10,000 deductibles on your health care plans. As soon as the government got into health care, that's when costs started to skyrocket and the results became worse. Economic situation, of course, this is also government. And more about that in just a second. Crime, we can look at all kinds of government policies, and some of them are kind of intertwined here because education was another one of the biggest concerns of Americans. And we have a largely government-run education, I mean, all the way down to you can't even open a private school without the consent of the government in local areas. You have to go through all kinds of regulations. So education is completely controlled by governments from federal on down to local. Unemployment, and more about that in just a second, but can you even imagine? Can you even imagine our unemployment situation in this country if everybody was allowed to keep every nickel of their paycheck and you could use it on goods and services all throughout your community and you kept it in the private sector? Can you imagine what those trillions of dollars every single year might unleash in economic activity? But the government sucks money out of the productive parts of our economy and takes it up and wastes it, fleshes it away, and sends it off to foreign lands. Poverty also. The war on poverty, launched by our federal government back in the 1960s, has been an abject failure and has created, anyone, more poverty. This is also tied to the failing education system. Poverty, unemployment, crime, all linked to government education as well. And then here we go, 29.7%, their biggest fear was climate change. Now, I'm not going to say our federal government is responsible for climate change, because climate change has been around since the Earth was the first glimpse of a molten rock. I did the story the other day that Neptune has had rapid temperature increases over the past 5 or 10 years. I can't remember what the time period was, but it was very rapid and very short period of time. Our federal government does not create climate change, but it creates the worrying about climate change. And then there's also immigration. We know we have a completely broken immigration system run by anyone, our federal government. And then housing is another one, and you know the government is intrinsically noodling around in our housing constantly. That is also, housing is a crisis now for many people because of the inflation created by the federal government and particularly the Federal Reserve. So there's such easy solutions to all of these things, but we've got the whack jobs in this country fighting each other. Instead of actually tackling these things, there's one thing I've talked a lot about, the fact that the way they calculate inflation right now is not the same way they used to calculate it. So when you compare inflation today, the reported number of 8.6% versus the inflation as it was reported in 1980, this is the highest inflation since then, you're comparing apples and plums because they're not calculated the same way. If we changed the length of an inch, if we change a foot is now 10 inches instead of 12 inches, then I'm well over 6 feet tall. We wouldn't say people are taller these days. There's something odd. People have gotten a lot taller. No, you've just changed the measurement that you're using that's made them look taller. But there's another statistic that is also manipulated, and I don't know, I've talked about it recently just to kind of show you. And you can go to this website to see how things would be today, how the numbers would come out today if they were reported like they were prior to 1994. And one of those measurements is unemployment. Now, Shadow Stats, it's shadowstats.com, run by an economist named John Williams. He does this for us. He calculates, he uses the old calculations to be able to compare apples to apples, what's happening now to what happened back in the 1980s, the 1970s, and the stagflation back then. Shadow Stats has got an alternate unemployment rate. It reflects current unemployment reporting methodology adjusted for shadow government stats, estimated long-term discouraged workers who were defined out of official existence in 1994. See, prior to 1994, they included in the unemployment figure people who had just given up on even looking for a job. Now, you can say what you want to about these people, but they're unemployed people. When that number started rising and they realized it was chronically high because our economy was not serving a lot of our population, the government just went, well, let's just take them out. We'll just take them out of the unemployment part. So now you have a different calculation for it. Here's what Shadow Stats is showing. If you reported unemployment the same way now that you did previous to 1994, our current unemployment rate right now, this chart is a little, it's got 5% increments, right? 5, 10, 15, 20. So you have to kind of judge where this line is on the other side of the scale. But we've got an unemployment rate right now of around 25%. Now, you say, well, that's Joe Biden. Look what he's doing to our economy. Well, yeah, you're right. He's a disaster. But what's more interesting is to look at some of the years, even during Trump's year, and it was trending down under Donald Trump. It had come down from around 23% to 21% unemployment. Now, in comparison, in the year 2000, using the way they calculated unemployment prior to 1994, around the year 2000, 2001, before the dot-com crash, unemployment in this country, if measured pre-1994, unemployment was around 11%. Of course, they report to us that unemployment is at 3% something, right? Now, during the Trump term, the official rates, the new calculations during the Trump term, looks like it went down from around 5% down to around 3.8%. I believe that's where Trump ended up his term. But if you calculated it the way it was prior to 1994 during the Trump years, unemployment went from around 23% down to around 21%. It's a different picture, isn't it? Now you understand why they changed the calculations in 1994. It's like they want to keep this as a secret from you. There was a tiny shred of more honesty from the Bureau of Labor Statistics prior to 1994 than there is now. And this is why the middle class has been shrinking, because it's been shrinking, but they just didn't tell us it was shrinking. It's kind of one of those, it's the frog in the pot. You don't notice that slow temperature rise. And particularly when they're telling you, oh, it's not rising. Look, we've got the statistics right here. The temperature in that pot is fine. It's just like a nice whirlpool. Now, if they had measured the temperature of that pot the same way the whole time, you'd realize that it was coming very close to the boiling point. But they tell you it's just a tepid warm bath. Very interesting stuff. Again, you can go to shadowstats.com and see the comparisons. If you want to see how we stand historically right now to where we stood in the past using the same measurements, which seems scientifically more accurate, that's a good place to go, shadowstats.com. When I come back, make sure you get any of your buddies who've got the blue and yellow flag posted on social media. Any of you Hannity types out there, any of you Hannity Republicans out there who are hell-bent on the destruction of Russia and Vladimir Putin and are fully stand in support of, well, in Sean Hannity's case, the CIA, and Ukraine. There's some fun little things coming out of Ukraine these days that I don't think are getting enough press. So we'll talk about them here when I come back. Stick around. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYEB. If you are a Sean Hannity Republican, Mark Levin Republican, you believe he is the great one, or if you are on the left and you are flying the Ukrainian flag on your social media stuff and believe that Vladimir Putin is the great Hitler and that you are expressing support for saving the bastion of democracy in Eastern Europe, then you might want to tune off the radio and go have a quick squeeze with your Vladimir Zelensky body pillow. And don't listen to the rest of this stuff, because this is going to be very, very inconvenient for you in your support for the great hero, the great international hero, Vladimir Zelensky. Ukrainian authorities have banned the country's main opposition party and seized all of its assets. Huh. That's interesting for a democracy, isn't it? Ukraine's Ministry of Justice announced the move on Facebook, revealing that the opposition platform for life had been shut down and its assets, money, and property transferred to the state. The party had previously had its operations suspended in March after it was accused of being complicit with Russia and being, quote, anti-Ukrainian. Oh, this must be some little radical party out there, right? No, they can't have any support. The party had previously had its operation, the ban means that Zelensky's main political opposition has been eliminated. The OPPL was the second largest party in the country, and its popularity surpassed that of Zelensky's Servant of the People Party last year. Ukraine has done away with its main opposition party, Zelensky. That sounds almost, I don't know, dictatorish? Banana Republicish? Now, to you Republicans, to you Sean Hannity Republicans out there who have got a real, I don't know if I can use the term that I want to use on the show. I'll have to check this with the station owner. You're very excited for conflict with Russia. You are a neocon. I used to be one of you. You have my sympathies. I also was mentally abused by the establishment Republican Party for a series of years. I'm trying to atone for it now. But if you are really excited about this, just imagine Joe Biden disbanding the Republican Party and seizing all of their assets. Because that's what Vladimir Zelensky just did for you Democrats out there. Ooh, can you imagine if Trump had shut down the DNC, taken all their stuff, put him in prison? The leader of this opposition party in Ukraine, Viktor Medvedchuk, who claims he is merely looking out for the interests of the Ukrainian people by seeking better relations with Russia, was placed under house arrest last month. That's interesting. Announcement said the party was suspected of acting to, quote, undermine the sovereignty of Ukraine, with authorities have already banned 10 other political opposition parties for the same reason. Boy, they got quite the democracy there, don't they? They've actually banned and confiscated all the assets of a party that's more popular in Ukraine with Ukrainians than the president's own party. Seems kind of like a douche move to me, but what do I know? The mainstream media tells us Zelensky is a hero. Last month, President Zelensky signed a bill into law that gave the green light to ban any party that challenged the government's policy on the Russian invasion, empowering courts to seize assets without the right to appeal. I don't know if that's in the democracy book, is it? Well, it gets better. While opposition parties are being obliterated, Ukrainians who engage in dissent are also being rounded up and arrested by armed men from the Ukraine Security Service. Now, do remember that this is who Roger Wicker, Cindy Hyde-Smith, and Michael Guest all voted to send tens of billions of dollars from your pockets to Ukraine. Ukraine is also attempting to extradite and imprison citizens who live in other European countries if they criticize Zelensky. There's some Twitter video going around. To be honest with you, it looks like American SWAT raids, but this is the Ukrainian government rather than our FBI or local SWAT teams descending upon their own citizens. There's a lot of video out there of the security force, Ukrainian Security Service, descending on Ukrainians who disagree with their government. That bastion of Jeffersonian democracy, Ukraine, we must support it at any cost. Holy cow. A popular YouTuber and critic of President Zelensky was arrested in Spain at the behest of the Ukrainian government on charges of treason and faces extradition, despite the fact he publicly condemned Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Anatoly Shariri, has almost 3 million YouTube subscribers, was detained on an international arrest warrant in a joint operation by Spanish and Ukrainian police, as well as international partners. That's according to the Ukrainian Security Service. They claim this guy has been acting on behalf of foreign forces by infringing Ukraine's national security via his media commentary on the war and engaging in incitement of hatred. This is what the government said. This is the security force, the Ukrainian Security Services, the SBU said. They said this guy's arrest, quote, is more proof that every traitor of Ukraine will sooner or later receive his well-deserved punishment. It is inevitable. Holy cow. Again, Michael Guest, Roger Wicker, Cindy Hyde-Smith just sent $53 billion, and there's about a new $1 billion announced every few days that's going over to this government in Ukraine, the Nazis in the government. But it turns out that maybe the biggest Nazi dictator in Ukraine is actually the president himself, who has banned the most popular political party in the country because it descends with him. See, we are led to believe here that every Ukrainian is on board with this war. Well, that's interesting. The party that was more popular than Zelensky's party wants better relations with Russia. Isn't that interesting? Seems like maybe on the ground, the average Ukrainian, maybe not down with this war. Maybe they're not anxious to fight to the last Ukrainian to fight a proxy war for the West against Russia. But we're providing them things that assure that this war will continue to go on. Thank you, Michael Guest. Thank you, Roger Wicker. Thank you, Cindy Hyde-Smith. She did vote for that, didn't she? If I am besmirching Cindy Hyde-Smith, but I'm pretty sure she voted to send this money as well. Sean Hannity supports this kind of stuff. Mark Levin supports this kind of stuff. The biggest names in conservative talk radio want to pick your pockets and send it over to this dictator Zelensky because they are still cold warriors. Now, Sean Hannity, at least he's somewhat honest. He's got his CIA lapel pins on you. He basically tells you that he is the deep state, yet somehow people are able to ignore it and continue to watch Sean Hannity on a nightly basis or listen to his ridiculous warmongering radio show. Because he says he likes Trump, so everything else is forgiven. They have banned and confiscated the assets of a more popular party in that country than even the president's own party, the main opposition party. Gone. That sure sounds very dictatory to me. Doesn't sound like democracy to me. Go squeeze your Zelensky body pillow. Beef up your yellow and blue flags there. You're basically a stooge for horrific oppression in Ukraine. I am so glad I was not fooled by this one. I'll be right back.
How hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. You're the renegades in this atomic age.
All right, I've only got a few minutes before I get into some health stuff. Of course, this Ukraine story is good for my health, too, because it just basically makes me laugh at this point. What can Americans not be convinced of? There's still people out there in the masks. There's still people getting the boosters, even though every story you see, the people who are boosted with COVID vaccines are getting COVID more often. And yet they are convinced, yeah, but you would have died without it. And we are actually treated daily to the mainstream media and the top of both political parties telling us that Vladimir Putin is this autocrat, this dictator in Russia. Now, I'm not saying Vladimir Putin's a real polite guy to his opposition. I wouldn't want to be facing off with Vladimir Putin in today's Russia. He's very powerful. But they do have opposition parties in Russia. There is some semblance of a political system there. Zelensky in Ukraine has just shut down the second largest party in the country, and that party was more popular than his party. And he shut it down. He's imprisoning them. He's taking their stuff, seizing their assets for the state. And Americans are allowing themselves to be held up by the ankles and have the change dribbled from their pockets in order to send money over to these people. And this doesn't even touch the Nazi connection. I mean, this is just straight on thug. Zelensky is the OG over there of this stuff. And Americans, it's like the vaccine. I have got to always remind myself that most people know very little. They're still, it's hard to believe in today's landscape. It's for people who particularly consume WYAB, I'll be honest with you. So a lot of the WGOP radio stations, they want to perpetuate whatever the narrative is that comes down from the top. I guarantee you the WGOP radio stations are not holding Michael Guest accountable in this runoff election for his funding of Ukraine and not pointing these things out to you, because that doesn't fly. That's not part of the plan. And most people consume those things. We have to understand the people who pay attention to these things are a very small sliver of the population. I'm a very, very small, I'm a libertarian. Good Lord, you don't get much of a smaller sliver than me. Somebody who actually wants, like, freedom. But this Zelensky stuff, this is not even new. It's not like, oh, wow, he surprised me. I talked about it weeks ago. Zelensky had made some comments about, you know, sustainability and the move towards basically a Green New Deal for the world. And I remember Dana Loesch saying, oh, gosh, I got to tell you, I'm disappointed that he said those things. I'm just thinking, are you not paying attention to the rest of the things that he's done in Ukraine? Are you not paying attention to the fact that it was the U.S. that overthrew the democratically elected government in Ukraine in 2014 and kicked off this whole thing? Are you not paying attention to any of those things right now? You're just listening to the Vladimir Putin's a bad guy, so we need to do anything we can to defeat Vladimir Putin. We've bet on the wrong horse here, people. I'll tell you right now, I am for Russia in this conflict. I do not want to see any more Ukrainians suffer from it. Apparently, most Ukrainians are not with Zelensky. They're not with his party even. And this thing could be ended, but it's not going to be ended by pushing Russia out and retaking Crimea and retaking the Donbass areas where the ethnic Russians are, where Russia has already secured. That's not the way it's going to end. That's the way it's going to accelerate. And I understand why Russia did this. I know the West has been bullying and provoking and prodding and poking for decades and decades now. This was a natural consequence of it. You print up a bunch of money, you get inflation. You harass, intimidate, marginalize a nuclear power, one of the world's superpowers. This is what you get. I mean, these things are inevitable. I want Russia to prevail because the West has had its way and made a mess of things. This war does not even take place without the West. The overthrow of the government in 2014 doesn't happen without the United States and Europe. The mess we're in right now does not happen without the West. You have a friendly Ukraine and a friendly Russia cooperating with each other. That's what it would have been, except for the West. I'm with Russia. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, and it's Wednesday. Every Wednesday from 10 to 11 o'clock, we focus in on health, primarily your health, as I try to convince people that your health is largely in your hands. It's not a fate of your genetics. They've lied to you about that and told you that disease and aging and everything else, well, aging is inevitable. I'll give them that. We do continue to get older. Every year, it seems like I get a year older, and I think that's actually true. As far as getting sicker, that does not have to be the case regardless of your genetics in 99% of the cases. Anyway, I try to convince you to do your own research because I am not a doctor. I'm not a scientist, not a biologist, not an immunologist, not a virologist. I'm not a nurse. I'm not a surgeon. I'm not a therapist. I'm nothing. I've got no certification to advise you on your health. I am just trying to put out some breadcrumbs that you can pick up and follow yourself if you actually want to improve your health outcomes. One of the things I talk to a lot about on this show is supplementation. I take a series of supplements. And we've also explained on the show many times, the best way to get the proper nutrition is through your food. Through your food. The problem is, for the vast majority of Americans, we do not get everything that we need from our food. There's a multitude of reasons for this. One is we've opted for convenience more than anything else, and so we eat a whole lot of processed foods. Most things Americans eat come out of a bag or a box. And this is a problem. The nutrition in these heavily processed food is largely null and void. It's not there. And even in those fresh foods or in those meats that we buy, a lot of times the meats are tainted with hormones, antibiotics. They're fed bad foods. And the animals themselves are fed bad foods. And they're treated with chemicals to ship and keep them from spoiling. And the vegetables are grown in soil that does not have the mineral composition that it has had years ago due to the way we farm, particularly at the biggest farming levels, not the small local farmers. But there's a whole host of reasons why we don't get it out of our food. I eat better than the vast majority of Americans, but I know there's some things that I miss. And so I take supplements. Now, supplements can be very confusing. Number one, there's the quality. I get people ask me all the time, what brands do you use? It just depends on which type of thing I'm taking. You know, I took spirulina, but after the Fukushima stuff, I said, do I want Hawaiian spirulina now? Because I'm not really sure exactly what's going on over there in the Pacific. And I think I changed to a South African spirulina. And so you have to kind of be on top of that. I do not buy any of the big box supplements. I'm not going to Wally World and getting their cheapest vitamins. If I'm going to spend a few extra bucks, it's going to be on something, on some company that I think has got some credibility for good quality in their supplements. But it is not as heavily regulated for the quality as people probably would like. I don't like government regulation. I've been able to make my way through it without government regulation. But supplements, it's confusing. We don't all know what we're missing in our diet, but I would imagine most people would admit I'm probably not getting all the nutrition I need out of what I eat when you stop and think about what you eat on a daily basis. Supplementation is there for just that. It's to supplement. I don't not eat and then just take a bunch of health supplements I eat, and if there's things I think I'm missing or I think there's little issues that I have that could be addressed by more zinc or more vitamin D or something like that, then I'll supplement with those things. But there's a lot of stories that come out a couple times a year how supplements are just no good. They're a big waste of your money. And one of these stories came out in the past week, and I wanted to take a look at it. I will always look at these things. Look, I spend a lot of money on supplements. Probably $600 to $800 a year I spend on supplements and have for the past 16 years. Last thing I want to be is duped and robbed of my money for no reason. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a second. This appeared on Study Finds. I'm going to read you a little bit of this, and then we're going to take a look at who did the study. Vitamins and supplements that countless people take to improve their health are just a waste of money, a new study contends. Researchers from Northwestern University say their health benefits are mainly in the mind, and some may even do more harm than good. According to the CDC, nearly 6 in 10 Americans regularly took dietary supplements in 2018. Last year, Americans spent $50 billion on vitamins and supplements. However, the research team says there's no, quote, magic set of pills to keep you healthy. Instead, diet and exercise are the best key to health. Now, that is absolutely, I think, an accurate statement. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. It's just a little deeper than that. As I said, you can even, I know people who get a lot of vegetables, but unfortunately they're buying a lot of stuff that's been sprayed with herbicides, sprayed with pesticides, and grown in soil that doesn't have a good mineral composition. You have to account for those things. This story goes on. I won't spend a ton of time in this story, but you know, patients ask all the time, what supplements should I be taking? This is from lead author Dr. Jeffrey Linder. Quote, they're wasting money and focus thinking there has to be a magic set of pills that will keep them healthy when we should all be following the evidence-based practices of eating healthy and exercising. And there's a couple of interesting things about this study I'm going to get into in a second. Certain supplements could cause cancer, not prevent it. Multivitamin tablets are particularly popular as they contain a mix of a dozen or so vital nutrients. The Health Food Manufacturers Association say more than a third of people feel they don't get all they need from their food. Now, here we go. This is where we get to the brass tacks of this thing, in my opinion. Well, let me say this too. So they go through this entire story saying, look, there's no magic pills. It's diet and exercise. They're right. Again, if you can get everything out of your food and you exercise, you will be healthy and not need supplements. No doubt about that. That's how you're designed to get it. And the food, vitamins and minerals out of food are more bioavailable. You digest them well. You're designed to uptake these things. That's great. But I go back to the problems with that. Let me get down here. What I thought was kind of contradictory in this is they get down into how all these supplements are really just a waste of time and you shouldn't be doing it. They have no effect. And then they, who revised these headlines? I mean, guidelines. But they get down in there and then they go, pregnant individuals should keep in mind that these guidelines don't apply to them. This is a co-author, Dr. Natalie Cameron, an instructor of general internal medicine at Northwestern. Certain vitamins such as folic acid are essential for pregnant women to support healthy fetal development. The most common way to meet these needs is to take a prenatal vitamin. More data is needed to understand how specific vitamin supplementation may modify risk of adverse pregnancy outcomes and cardiovascular complications during pregnancy. Recent research has found most women in the U.S. have poor heart health prior to becoming pregnant, Dr. Cameron says. And optimizing cardiovascular health prior to pregnancy is an important component of prenatal care. So basically what they're saying is, You need to supplement if you're a pregnant American because your health isn't great going into a pregnancy. And in that case, you should take a supplement. Any other time, all you other unhealthy Americans, you need to stay away from how does that make any sense? If taking a folic acid pill has a profound impact on your health that is in a positive way, why does taking a vitamin D tablet or a fish oil tablet or something else that also your body needs with fish oil and essential fatty acids, why is that not good? Anyway, let's get into who did this study real quick. Let me get back up here. Systematic review of 84 studies found, quote, insufficient evidence, unquote, that taking multivitamins, paired, or single supplements prevent cardiovascular disease and cancer. A team from the United States Preventative Services Task Force, an independent panel of experts that makes evidence-based recommendations, carried out that review. Okay. We've got an independent panel of experts that makes evidence-based recommendations. They carried out this review. They're called the United States Preventive Services Task Force. When I saw that, I was a little curious. First of all, let's see how the track record of the United States Preventative Services Task Force is, or just the medical establishment themselves. What's their track record? Let's see. We want to be preventative in heading off any problems for Americans. I pulled up a chart real quick during the last break. Here's healthcare expenditures in the United States over the past 30 years. Excuse me, 50 years. In 1970, we spent around $400 billion on healthcare. This is everything from doctors to prescriptions to administrators and all the bureaucracy around healthcare. Around $400 billion, according to this chart. In 2020, that number was looks to be somewhere around $4.5 trillion. From about $400 billion to $4.5 trillion, I got to tell you, if you're in the business of preventative care at this level, at the U.S. level, your credibility is suspect at best. You certainly don't seem to be preventing anything. But I did want to look at this U.S. Preventative Services Task Force, and I'll read you a little bit about them. They say, as part of our efforts to make work as transparent as possible and enhance the accuracy and relevance of our recommendations, the task force works with a group of partner organizations. They include federal agencies that are stakeholders in the process and dissemination and implementation partners that represent primary care physicians, consumers, and other stakeholders involved in the delivery of primary care. Partner organization representatives contribute their expertise, help disseminate the work of the USPSTF, this is the Preventative Services Task Force, to the members and constituents and help put the recommendations into practice. So let's take a look at their partners. First of all, they have the entire cavalcade of medical groups. Now, when I tell you that medical expenditures have gone up in this country from $400 billion to about $4.5 trillion over the last 50 years, that money's going somewhere. Where's that money going? Into all of the groups I'm about to explain to you. The American Academy of Physicians. These are partners of this U.S. Preventative Services Task Force. American Academy of Family Physicians, Association of Nurse Practitioners, Academy of Pediatrics, Academy of Physician Associates, College of OBGYN, College of Physicians, College of Preventive Medicine, Medical Association, this, all of these groups. They also have their federal partners in this group. This is the CDC, Department of Defense, I guess for their health stuff. This is all the government agencies that are involved in health. And we've explained on here ad nauseum about the revolving door and the corruption of these agencies. These are partners to this very transparent, they call it an independent body. And then they also have partners focused on healthcare utilization, coverage, and quality. And I ran across one of these in here, too. One of their partners is the Business Group on Health. The Business Group on Health. That kind of piqued my interest, I got to say. What businesses are so interested in health that are in this partnership? Let's take a look at them. Again, this is the group that tells you that supplements are no good. They've done an independent research. And here's the partners involved in that independent research. Cargill Incorporated. These are all food and beverage manufacturers. Cargill, Diego North America, General Mills, Kellogg, Mars. Yes, the candy manufacturer, and I believe they do a whole lot of other things too. The candy manufacturer was involved as a partner in this research. Mondelez International, Nestle, PepsiCo, the Coca-Cola Company, the Hershey Company, the J.M. Smucker Company, and Tyson Foods. Now, there were also a ton of healthcare companies all making money off of the sick care industry that are partners in this research. These are all the doctors' groups, hospitals groups, the people who, I mean, they do not have a dog in the hunt when it comes to preventing disease. I'm just saying. Now, more about supplements in a second, but here's some of the other people in the business group, the partner of the United States Preventative Task Force, Preventative Services Task Force, Biogen, Pharmaceuticals and Biotechnology, Boehringer Ingelheim Pharmaceuticals, Pharmaceuticals and Biotechnology, Bristol-Myers Squibb, Calm, which is a pharmaceuticals and biotechnology company. CSL Behring, pharmaceuticals and biotechnology. Biogen. Boehringer Ingelheim Pharmaceuticals. Bristol-Myers Squibb. Oh, I've already done that one. EMD Serono Pharmaceutical. Exact Sciences Pharmaceuticals. Firefly Health Pharmaceuticals. Genentech. Genomic Life. GlaxoSmithKline. Invitae. Johnson & Johnson. LabCorp. Merck & Company. Novartis. Novo Nordisk. Organon. Pacerca Biosciences. Pear Therapeutics. Pfizer. Sera Prognostics. Signify Health. And Takeda Pharmaceuticals. These are all partners in this independent study showing you that supplementation is no good. So let me tell you my thinking on supplementation. First of all, as I say before, your best way to get the best nutrition is to get good quality, real food, not from a bag or a box, fresh food, cattle grown without hormones and antibiotics for your beef from stoningtonfarm.com. A local farmer here in Mississippi. We'll talk more about him later. But the best way to get your nutrition is from your food. It's also the best way through your food to keep bad things out. Many of the products of the companies, the food companies I just listed to you, Mars, PepsiCo, Coca-Cola, all of these that are actually hurting your health. It is very difficult to get everything that you need from your food. Now, a lot of people, particularly older people, say, oh, that's ridiculous. We didn't have that problem when I was a kid. My parents didn't give me any supplements. So I'm telling you, the food is different. The processes are different now than they were back in the old times. Some supplements you might be taking are a waste of money. I'm sure that I have blown hundreds of dollars on things I might not have needed over the years. And maybe I was already getting certain things from my diet that I wasn't even really aware of. Where is zinc anyway? Well, I know it's in spinach. I know it's in shellfish. I don't need a whole lot of shellfish, so maybe I need to supplement with zinc. Maybe I was getting enough from the spinach I was eating. I don't know. I'm sure I have wasted money on supplements. But you know what hasn't happened? I have not had one single sick day in 16 years. Now, here's the problem for these people that are telling you that supplements are no good. This is a problem for them, not me. I have not paid for one single pharmaceutical for 16 years. Not one. Unless you say I do get maybe a jar of ibuprofen once every 2 years, I'll get an occasional headache or something I can tell that maybe I want to tamp down some inflammation quickly and I don't have access to other anti-inflammatories. But outside of a little bit of ibuprofen, I've spent no money with the pharmaceutical companies. I have not paid for one single doctor visit in 16 years. I used to spend all my money, my medical health money, on doctor's visits and medications. That's what I did. And then I ate the standard American diet. A bunch of garbage. And I kept getting sicker and spending more the older I got. So what would be a bigger waste of money? Spending a few hundred dollars over 16 years on supplements that I really didn't even need. I just peed them out or whatever. My body just said, oh, we already got enough of that or you don't need that or whatever. A few hundred dollars a year over 16 years while I felt fantastic and was never sick, or spending tens of thousands of dollars over the years to feel like crap and continue to be on the pharmaceutical treadmill. I'm just saying. There is also another thing that I do believe probably is involved in supplementation, at least for myself. I believe there's even a placebo effect. I do believe that. If I ever start to come down with a tickle or anything like that, I have a routine of what I'll take for that particular thing. And I take it during that day, be it apple cider vinegar, or sit out in the sun a little bit to boost my vitamin D levels, whatever it is, the next day I wake up and whatever it was that it felt like it was coming on is gone. And I believe my mind takes care of a lot of that. I have in my head this idea that I don't get sick. I talked to, you know, I was dating a woman. She got sick a couple of times. And when she got sick, I'd drink after her. She'd go, don't drink after me. I'm sick. I'd say, I'm going to show you. I don't get sick. And I didn't get sick. And so there are supplements that you waste your money on. It is difficult to find the best quality supplements. It's good to go to a local natural health food store or something like that. Get some advice from people that know they carry better brands than Wally World or Kroger. But you may waste a little bit of money on some of these supplements. Maybe you get the placebo effect, but I'll tell you right now, since I started watching what I eat and supplementing with the things that I felt like I needed, and I continue to do this up to and including today, I saw something the other day that said zinc and a good balance of zinc and selenium is good for building muscle. You know, complete with all the research studies and all that, I've been struggling to build more muscle. I exercise a lot. I need another 5 or 10 pounds of muscle weight on me, and it is harder for me to get gain now than it was when I was a child. I went out and got some zinc and some selenium. Now we'll see if that works. At the most, I might have just wasted $17 for about 45 days' supply of zinc and selenium. It's not going to hurt me, and maybe I'll give it a whirl. But this idea that supplementation is somehow just a complete waste of money, I believe, is the healthcare system lashing out and saying, hey, don't take control of your health. Come on, you get it through your food. You go get that bag of stuff that you pop open and throw it in the microwave and eat it. That's fine. That's fine for you. And U.S. healthcare spending has gone from $400 billion to $4.5 trillion. To poo-poo supplements, it should be about number 1,000 on the list of problems we have in healthcare in America. So the supplement world, it's a little bit of the Wild West. There's stuff out there that just plain old, they make claims that aren't justified on some things. There are hucksters out there. It's the Wild West. That's okay. It means you have to do a little bit of research yourself. Quit depending on the government or your doctor or somebody to know everything for you, and you just offer yourself up to them. It's not working out well. These stories you will see on these supplements will occur every 3 to 6 months. I'll see them pop up, and I'll continue to pay attention to who does the studies. I just led you off the cast of characters between the giant commercial food companies, the pharmaceutical companies, and the medical companies that all make money off of your sickness. Those are the partners in this study showing you that supplements don't work. Some of those things in the story, they get right. And some supplements might not work. And some you might not need. But I'll tell you what, it has worked out awfully well for me to have taken control of my health 16 years ago and not depended on any of those companies for a plug nickel's worth of their products. I don't need it because I've taken control myself. That's all the time I got on that one. When I come back, there's an interesting study about the PFSAs. These are toxic forever chemicals. Guess where those things are hiding as well. Be right back. Just a piece of lead to bite on, but I'm not to fly my kite on. Do you want to flash a light on? Take a look, it's on display for you. Coming down, no, not today. Did you meet your fortune teller? Get it off with no problem. All right, went a little long last segment. Short one here, but I wanted to point this out. EPA warns toxic forever chemicals are more dangerous than once thought. Another swing and a miss by our protective agencies there in Washington, D.C. Of course, I've explained to you the revolving door between these things. The chemical manufacturers, I'm sure, are well represented within the EPA, and EPA inspectors are well represented within the chemical companies. I'm sure they have the same revolving door there, too. The EPA warned Wednesday that a group of human-made chemicals found in the drinking water, cosmetics, and food packaging used by millions of Americans poses a greater danger to human health than regulators previously thought. Huh. Oopsie. Oopsie. We told the food manufacturers they could put these chemicals in there. We didn't think it would be any big deal, but golly, it turns out these are not good for your health. The new health advisories for a ubiquitous class of compounds known as, I'm not even going to pronounce it, or PFAS. These are I can't do it. Underscore the risk facing dozens of communities across the country linked to infertility, thyroid problems, and several types of cancer. These, quote, forever chemicals, unquote, can persist in the environment for years without breaking down. How many of you ladies out there have got thyroid problems? You might want to take a look at some of the chemicals you're ingesting. Thyroid is just, all these chemical stories are always talking about thyroid issues. Here's the interesting thing. Where's one place that maybe some of these PFASs are lurking? More than 131 million Americans, 66% of adults, take prescription drugs. Most of these drugs come with substantial side effects, but you probably don't know that many of them also contain PFAS forever chemicals that are linked with a variety of negative health effects. Unfortunately, the EPA is working to make sure that you never do, because the agency has developed a, quote, working definition, unquote, of PFAS chemicals that excludes thousands of PFAS chemicals that are captured by the definitions used in other scientific bodies. And what that means is they know these PFAS things are bad, but they've allowed the pharmaceutical companies to put them in their products because they say, well, those are different PFASs. We're not going to count those. Some of the brand names of PFAS-containing drugs rank among some of the world's top sellers. Lipitor, Prozac, Flonase, Lexapro, Crestor, Celexa, Invokana, never heard of that one, Paxil, Prevacid, and more are among the top 500 drugs prescribed in the U.S. Millions of Americans are ingesting these drugs, likely containing PFAS chemicals, but have no idea. Yeah. So there you go. Your regulatory body's out there protecting you. They're trying to protect you from supplementing, but they're ignoring the fact that these chemicals are actually not only in your food, in your packaging, in your drinking water, but also in your prescription drugs. Yeah, we can trust them. Be right back. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. It's Wednesday. We're doing Hump Day Health, natural health news you can use. Getting control of your health is about diet and nutrition. It's not about the latest pharmaceutical product out there, surprisingly enough. This was a story that was out. It was on Axios. And they're talking particularly about Latinos here, but this is about fatty liver disease. Health advocates say it's time to develop more preventative measures to curb the increasing rate of fatty liver disease among U.S. Latinos. But this is more specific than that. I don't know how many Latino listeners I have, but says the myth is that cirrhosis is a disease related to alcoholism and the associated stigma. This means it's had less research. But about 25% of U.S. adults, or 65 million people, have non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. That's an amazing statistic right there. Mexicans and Mexican-Americans have got the highest rate of that, but that's a lot of Americans, 25% of all U.S. adults. Fatty liver disease occurs when too much fat is stored in liver cells. Non-alcoholic fatty liver disease is the most common form of chronic liver disease, especially in Western nations. The most advanced civilizations on planet Earth. And we have just destroyed our food and are just seeing all these different kinds of consequences. Left untreated, it can develop into non-alcoholic steatohepatitis or NASH, an aggressive form of fatty liver disease, which may lead to cirrhosis and liver failure. What they're saying, our modern society, this is a quote, our modern society has created the problem of a nutrition-based to chemical-based liver disease, and alcohol is not the main driver anymore. I talk about this also being related to our obesity epidemic, and that most people do not get on top of this fast enough. Now, the story goes into the Georgia-based biotech company Galectin Therapeutics. They're testing a new drug called Belapectin. It's targeted for release in 2024. I did a story the other day. They're testing a cancer drug. 12 people they tested it on. Small study, but all 12 went into complete remission. No evidence of cancer in their body. There's always the possibility. Maybe this is a great pharmaceutical company that is going to cure fatty liver disease. But that would be the exception and certainly not the rule. So, if you are worried about fatty liver disease, if you've ever had any tests that indicate that that's where you're headed, having liver issues, they can be serious. Your liver is one of your detoxing parts of your body, gets a lot of the junk out of there, and I believe it filters your blood, doesn't it? So you want to make sure you got a fully functioning liver. This is Dr. Berg on four critical tips to reverse a fatty liver. And surprise, spoiler alert, he doesn't mention the new latest pharmaceutical for it.
Hey guys, I'm back, and we're going to be talking about the four critical tips to reversing a fatty liver. I've already did a complete video on a fatty liver, how to handle that. I put the link down below. But in this video, we're going to talk about the four critical tips, okay? And these are the points to emphasize. These are the most important things. In fact, you got to realize if you have a fatty liver, it's not just that there's fat in the liver. It's dysfunctional. The liver cells are damaged, okay? And so we need to actually fix that. Number one, okay, organic. The food that you eat must be organic. Why? Primarily because we don't want the pesticide, insecticide, herbicide, fungicide, those type of things, right? But primarily, the most commonly used herbicide is glyphosate, which is the one they use in making GMO-type foods. And it's in soy oil. It's in so many foods. So what we want to do is we want to make sure we don't keep putting back in that herbicide, that glyphosate, that GMO food. So that's one thing. We want to do organic because if it's organic, it doesn't have GMO. And we also want to detoxify the glyphosate and other chemicals from the liver. And there's a compound called glutathione, okay? And that's produced by the liver. It's also in certain vegetables. These vegetables will stimulate also the production of that compound to help break down the chemicals. And it's a sulfur-based compound. And garlic, onion, radish, cruciferous, parsley, all those really kind of pungent, bitter vegetables, really good for the liver, vital in fact. Okay, so that's number one. Number two is keep your insulin really, really low. Well, the way that you got into this mess in the first place is you had the insulin either too high or the fatty liver came from too much alcohol or other things that are related to that, maybe like some other types of junk foods that you've eaten. But mainly it's the insulin and the alcohol. So yes, we need to cut the alcohol out of the diet, okay? And we also need to bring insulin down. Again, I've talked about this over and over. I'm going to put another link down there if you are new to this channel. But insulin needs to come down, and we have to cut out the sugar, do intermittent fasting. And there's a lot of other things you can do, okay? So that's number two, because you can't fix this with the high insulin. It's impossible. Choline is number three. Choline is a B vitamin that is very essential for dissolving or breaking down fat from the liver. It's called lipotrophic. It breaks down lipids or fats. Guess what food? It's actually in egg yolks. It's in seafood, wheat germ, Brussels sprouts, broccoli, and other cruciferous vegetables. Okay? All right, so you may even consider just consuming this as a supplement as well, because we want to get more of it right now just to really break that stuff down. Now, as these chemicals are coming out of the liver through the gallbladder, out through the intestine, okay, and the fat's coming out as well, we better keep our vegetables very, very high because we want to prevent constipation or any type of backup. So we want to keep the vegetables high to start flushing all this fat out and keep the system clean. Also, this overlaps because all the great phytonutrients and liver supporting and the factors that build up the liver nutrition-wise are all in vegetables. So we have to consume at least 6 to 10 cups. But just realize these are the most important things out of everything. So if you just focus on these, you're going to be in really good shape. Last point is the liver takes a long time to rejuvenate. I mean, it could take up to 3 years of healthy eating. So have patience, keep putting in your health, keep creating health every single day, and you will get there. Thanks for watching.
Yeah, it's a shame. 3 years. Ooh, gosh, gotta tell you. It's better to just avoid that damage in the first place, isn't it? But, you know, what he's talking about, that way of eating is just better for you anyway. Maybe you can head off fatty liver. But if you've got it, there are natural things you can do to start breaking down that fat and restore proper function to your liver. You don't have to wait for that pharmaceutical company to come up with something. You can start doing something today. Be right back.
From all over the world, this is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees, so will you catch me now? I'm falling.
All right, final segment here. Before we move on, I want to remind you, we do have a couple of sponsors here that are out there dedicated to, you know, kind of this natural approach to health. One of those is Integrated Medical and Wellness Clinic. They are located in Ridgeland, right over there by Costco on Draperton Drive. This is a one-of-a-kind treatment center focused on increasing your quality of life. Approach is based on the latest therapies and science in integrative medicine. Integrative medicine, for those who do not know, is a inside-to-outside approach to health. They look for the root causes of what your problem are and help you address those so that the symptoms you have go away, not just batting them down with prescriptions the way that the medical establishment loves to do. It's very profitable that way. But if you want to figure out what's wrong with your body and address your conditions, then what you need to do is look for the root cause and go after it there. They've got years and decades of experience there, and they are specialized to treat your medical needs. They do a lot of work also with joint pain. If you're considering some kind of a surgery, particularly in your knee area and your legs, this is something they've got processes there that they can actually help your body produce more of what it needs to lubricate your joints. So if you've got pain issues, that's another reason to visit Integrative Medical and Wellness Clinic. As I said, they're on Draperton Drive right over there by the Costco in Ridgeland. You can reach them online at imawc.com, imawc.com, or phone number 601-843-6195, 601-843-6195. I know what you'll always remember is more the website. Check them out at imawc.com. And also, when we talk about the quality of food, getting the right nutrition through your food, there's a lot of good things that come from beef. A lot of vitamins and minerals you can get for properly raised beef. And Stonington Farm down in South Mississippi is one of our sponsors here. And they ship up to the Jackson area. If you've got bulk orders, they ship. They're one of these organizations. It's a small local farm. They raise their cows without antibiotics, without hormones, and they do not even grain finish these things. They are grass-fed beef. I've got a clip I'll play maybe next week, but I'm going to have Dr. Stonington on, who owns this farm, at some point and talk to you. There's a tremendous amount of health benefits, more omega-3 fatty acids, all kinds of good reasons to eat grass-fed beef the way cows were meant to graze and eat. We in the big commercial farms, what you're getting at the grocery stores is a bunch of GMO grains they feed these cows. You want to know why these cows are just suddenly dying in the heat? They're unhealthy. That's why they're dying. So get a good healthy cow, and it makes for a more healthy diet. You can visit them at stoningtonfarm.com, stoningtonfarm.com, and take a look at what they've got. I've had their meat. They've got some other stuff. I need to get some organ meats into my diet. There's a lot of benefits to those. I'm going to be reaching out to them to get some good organ meats. But they've got, I think, even bone broth, all kinds of stuff. It's, again, this is a local farm. These are Mississippi raised, Mississippi born, Mississippi bred, and then shipped to the people of Mississippi here from a local small farmer. And this is really, this is the more, you know, even for the greens out there, this is a more sustainable model. You know, the cows are happy out there. I think that Dr. Stonington goes out every day at sunset and plays guitar for them out in the field. They're happy cows. It's kind of the same approach I have towards chickens and eggs. I need to find a better egg source around town here. So if anybody knows of some good free-range chickens running around eating grubs and all kinds of stuff where I can get some good eggs around here, please email me, MikeMadison@WYAB.com. I tell people I don't like to eat those sweatshop eggs. If you've ever seen a regular chicken operation, those are not happy chickens. You're eating sadness there. Eggs are so great for you, but you need a good quality, locally raised, free-range chicken. A happy chicken makes a happy egg, makes a healthy person, not those sweatshop eggs. So stoningtonfarm.com. They don't have chickens there. I don't want to make any mistake. Unfortunately, they don't have chickens, but they've got some great beef. It tastes fantastic. And when you buy in bulk from them, you'll be getting a better deal than you will at the grocery store. So please check them out. I'll be honest with you. I've run a little bit long here. I wanted to get into I've got a good clip here from Dr. Ken Berry. He's a doctor up in Tennessee, where he's talking about collagen. I'll go ahead and tease it right now since I got a couple of minutes to fill. I put a collagen supplement into my coffee each morning. I'm trying to get more protein into my diet. I love the taste of it in my coffee in the morning. I put butter, coconut oil, collagen, stevia, and a little cinnamon in my coffee. And I tell you what, it's one of the things that gets me out of bed in the morning. I like it so much. But there's a lot of benefits to making sure you're getting proper collagen in your diet. And when I play, I'll do this clip next week of Dr. Berry talking about how to do it with food. Now, I'm using a supplement right now, but I could do a better job of getting more collagen producing foods. What's beneficial about collagen? First of all, it helps replace what's naturally lost through aging, and this is why people do supplement with it. Skin, obviously, is a big thing. And people want to keep a good youthful appearance. Collagen plays a big part in your skin health. So that's one of the reasons. Not the main reason I do it, but I do seem to get older every year. So I hope those benefits come as well. Collagen's an easy-to-digest source of protein. It helps smooth wrinkles and boost elasticity in the skin. But it does more than just skin stuff. I think collagen's kind of related to, it's kind of a chick thing, sounds like. But it may also help lessen joint aches and pains. They've done plenty of studies on this. And in this article, if you want to email me for my show notes, I'll send it to you. But they've set studies showing that this helps with joint aches and pains. It also, collagen oral supplements may help promote gut health. I believe there's collagen is very good in helping repair and support your gut's lining. May also buoy your heart health. They've done some studies showing that coronary artery disease is helped by people who do collagen supplementation. And also collagen peptides can help keep bones healthy and protect you against joint disease. Now, it's not something out there to lose weight. This is about providing yourself, again, one of those raw materials your body needs to produce good joints, healthy skin, all of these things. You might want to take a look at collagen. As I said, next week I'll have time to do Dr. Barry's clip on where to get this in your diet. There was one in there that I'd kind of forgotten about. This is why I love doing this show. I run across stuff. It reminds me of habits I've had in the past that I think were beneficial. I've dropped off of them. I'm like anybody else. I'll reintroduce them. But there's a lot of good foods out there you should be taking to help your skins, your joints, your heart, the whole deal, stomach lining. Collagen is one of those things you might want to consider adding to your diet as well. That's all the time that I've got today. Hope you have a healthy and a happy day. I'll see everybody tomorrow.
No
Bye-bye.
Matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.